Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
I hope you're all having a wonderful Christmas season on this fourth Sunday of Christmas and these 12 days that the church carves out so we can celebrate the miracle, the Word becoming flesh, and on this first Sunday in Christmas. I know Joan and I have had a wonderful Christmas so far. We found out that my goddaughter is expecting, is going to have her fourth child, and my nephew is engaged, he's getting married in June. We had some wonderful food and all the wonder of the congregation on Christmas Eve, and the oranges and the choirs and the decorations. It's been wonderful. And I hope you're having a wonderful Christmas. And you look at the manger scene and it's beautiful. I mean, Mary and Joseph and the baby and the animals and the shepherd. It's really nice. My friend, Paul Kirshner, my best friend, his dad was a pastor. And every time he had a manger scene in his house, he always put a crucifix. I always thought, that's kind of a downer. Why put a crucifix with the manger scene? But I think because he was a pastor and he knew his Bible, because if you read the Bible, it's not always an easy Christmas that we see there. In fact, in the church calendar, the day after Christmas Day is the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. I said, whoa, this is kind of a downer. It takes away from a jolly, holy Christmas. And then we remember the story of what happened here. I mean, out of the blue, Gabriel, the angel, appears to Mary, a teenager, and says, hey, blessed are you. You're gonna have the pregnancy. You're pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to bear God. Whoa! I mean, we could be 16, 15, we could be 74, and still, that's hard to wrap your head around. So, but Mary said, yes, I am the Lord's handmaid. And then Joseph, a righteous man, a good man, who was engaged to Mary, and she was engaged to him, finds out she's pregnant. He says, oh boy, I can really pick him, can't I? So what he did was he tried to do this quietly to divorce her so she wouldn't be ostracized by the community. But an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, hey, don't worry, this woman, this is the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she's going to have a baby who is Jesus, and he'll save the world. And miracle of miracles, Joseph believed that. That was wonderful. And he took Mary as his wife, and they go to Bethlehem, and they have the baby and the angels. And we heard that story. It's wonderful. Glory to God in the highest, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Wonderful stuff. And then we come today. The murder of innocents. In fact, our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters said the number of babies wiped out, killed, murdered in this Holocaust was 14,000. 14,000 babies wiped out, killed. And Joseph, thank God, listened to his dreams. Because in a dream, the angel warned him, hey, Herod's going to kill your baby. Get out of here. So he goes to Egypt. As a refugee, they went to Egypt. Thank God Pharaoh had open borders. Thank God he didn't have illegal ICE agents arresting them and putting them away. So they went there and they were safe. And thank God the wise men also listened to their dreams, because the dream said, God said to them in the dream, don't go back to Herod, take a different way to safety. Then they went in a dream, went back, and Herod's son was in charge, and he was worse than his father. In fact, Caesar got him out of Palestine and put him in Gaul, where he died in exile, because he was just a rotten, cruel, evil man. I could tell you some things he did, but this is church, so we won't go into that. But he was a wicked man. So, what are we going to do with this? Do you feel like we're having a holly jolly Christmas with these lessons?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm glad somebody likes. Well, one thing we could take from this is Jesus has been through it. I mean, he's just a few weeks or months old. He had to go through all this stuff. So he understands our world. He understands there's good in the world and wonder in the world. And there is evil in the world. He understands that. And he understands families. He understands the good, bad, ugly that's inside all of us. He understands that. He knows our immediate families. He knows the joys and the pains that we have in our families. He knows our church family and how we are blessed in this church family with a lot of love, joy, and peace. But that doesn't always happen in the church family. Martin Luther loved the Christmas story. He loved the manger scene. He loved Mary and Joseph and the baby. And he would meditate and pray on this. In fact, I used to have, there's a book put up by Augsburg Fortress, Luther's Christmas book. I can't find it, but I'm still looking. I know, Joe, it's hard to believe I can't find a book in my room, but it's there someplace. But I don't throw anything out, so it's there someplace. And he would pray about how he would imagine helping Mary change baby Jesus' diapers. He would imagine having baby Jesus on his shoulder and burping baby Jesus. He would imagine all this. He'd imagine working with young Jesus and his dad in a carpenter's shop and smell the sawdust and see the beautiful tables and beautiful doors and beautiful little wooden toys that could be made there. He imagined all this, and he would pray through the Holy Family that he could be a better father to his children and a better pastor to his congregational family and a better husband to his wife. He would pray about this. In fact, he had a heart for widows and orphans in Wittenberg when Joan and I were there. He started the first community chest in Wittenberg for people that, the children that didn't have parents, for widows, and to support them so they would have food and clothing. He worked for peace because he witnessed the horrible peasants' war where people were slaughtered and he saw the blood and the gore, and he didn't want that to happen. He worked for peace. You know, he would hold babies that he was about to baptize or friends, babies in his arms, and he wouldn't just see a baby, he'd see the baby Jesus. He would see the baby Jesus. And then Luther, he would think of our life and our family always under the gaze of the Holy Family. And he would feel this in his heart and to seek to look through the eyes of the Holy Family, that where the angel is surrounding them with love, that we're surrounded with love. That you were surrounded with love before, but now for 54 years in a wonderful marriage, and look at the fruit of your marriage. And you know, the wonder to celebrate that, you know, through God's eyes, through the church, to remember that your family is holy. You're baptized. You have the Holy Spirit in you, the baby Jesus in your heart, to open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart to feel the presence of the Spirit in you. And every time as a church, we through the power of the Holy Spirit, we make God happy by every act of kindness. About Lutheran World Relief, the ice cream thing we had this year, and North Hills Youth Community Outreach, and all the food that was here, and every act of kindness, you make God happy. Every gift of a pumpkin pie, or cookies, or a letter, or a prayer, or knocking the door and saying Merry Christmas, that's all ways of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, of celebrating the Holy Family. That's, you know, Jesus said, sure, in this world there is evil. In this world you'll have problems, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Mahatma Gandhi once said, there are tyrants and evil and wicked liars, and for a while they can seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall. And truth and love and kindness, which the rulers look down upon, are the most powerful forces in the whole world. To live in God's love and to know God's love. And open your hearts to the children of this world, the holy innocents that are all around us. To work for every child. I mean, it's nice to have what we believe in life and have babies and all that stuff. But what about when baby's born? Baby have a shelter over his head? Does a baby have food in its stomach? Does a baby have a chance for a good education? Does the baby have smart science where they get vaccines so they don't get the measles that's breaking up in our country again because of false leaders and killing babies? Do we have the right information for them? Do we have a heart for people, children from poor places in the world? Joan, my wife, was a guidance counselor at Stowe Rocks. And she'd work with these kids. When they see her in the morning, they'd hug her. And they're so starved for affection. And she'd work with them. But then they'd go back down into their environment. And she had a third grader come to her and said, "Boy, Miss Joan, I just saw last night a man get shot. A head and his eye popped out." How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? To reach out and to love them. Or just to get a child and say, "Jesus was born on Christmas Day. That's why we sing, and that's why we say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." And to tell the story of why we're here in a world that has all kind of different distractions and glitter and all that kind of stuff. Jesus said, "Whoever receives a little child in my name receives me." On this first Sunday of Christmas, on this Holy Innocence Martyrs Day, as we gaze at the divine joy and the divine child in the manger in Bethlehem, this baby in the manger, let's pray for hearts that are open to receiving Jesus in the holy innocence all around us every day. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.